Military bases have seen these drones fly over them. That's a federal offense. If there ever were justification to shoot a drone down, that would be it. Why hasn't it happened?
Well, because, look, first of all, Bill, the military commanders at installations have the authorities they need to defend themselves, their people, their interests, and certainly to protect our secrets and our national security. Sometimes the answer is to find a way to down a drone, and sometimes the answer is not. And a lot of it depends on the capability that the base commander has available to him or to her, but they have the authorities that they need. The sense that you have to shoot everything down just when you see it, even if you do believe that there's a malicious intent, doesn't comport with actual reality. So, I mean, it really depends on the situation at hand. But rest assured, commanders have the authorities that they need to take the action that they must to protect their facilities.
What did you think?
Thank you. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Can you comment on the drones that are flying around New Jersey ports? It seems like the American people have a big disconnect.
The government knows what is happening. Look, our military knows where they took off from. If it's a garage, they can go right into that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment.
On the way here, I was on the phone with my OEM team, and we now have guidance coming from the state. And that guidance does say two different things. First of all, if there is a downed drone in our vicinity, we are immediately to call the bomb squad of our county. And second, our fire department has been instructed to make sure they wear hazmat suits.
So if something falls out of the sky that people have seen, and some of these things are as big as an SUV, if that happens, you're to treat this more than a plane crash. It's treated like an attack on the homeland?
That is correct, because they're not quite sure if there's a payload or not.
So they're saying that what? It's like it could be like nuclear material that's been lost, and so they're out there trying to find it. Is that seems to be the general gist of it. So then my question is this. God help us. How do you lose nuclear material? I mean, it's at the end of the year. We've all been through hell. Can we just, you know, have someone in the government not be such a dumbass that it makes me want to deconstruct the whole damn entirety of D.C. brick by brick?
Nope, sorry.
Are you sure?
Jeez.
I just, I was reading, because I didn't quite understand how you would be able to find nuclear material. You know, like it's, you know, doesn't light up like light bright, I guess. Maybe it does. I don't know.
Kind of does.
So, well, I was looking at some of this, reading some of the explanations for it, and it was kind of interesting. But again, none of it answered my question of, so how, because it's like the word is that it was like an entire train car of something, right? This is like a X-Files movie. Right. Welcome to the show. Dana Lesh with you, top of the first hour. Make sure you sign up at Substack. Lots of good stuff that happens there. But to come back to the drone thing, because you guys know I've been fascinated by this from the get-go. I really do wonder, because Kane, what does railways and transporting that stuff, what department does that fall under?
Oh. Transportation.
The Department of Transit. Thank you. Who is the head of the Department of Transportation? I'm sure he's an illustrious person.
Yes, that
you
is.
You know, it's a big job, I'm sure.
Peter Buttigieg.
Oh, Mr. Peter Buttigieg. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, him. Okay. New mom. Is he on maternity leave still?
No, I think he's recently off.
Now,
maternity leave.
I want you to, one more question, if you don't mind. I want you to tell me, who is it that's in charge, or was, I don't think he is anymore, but he was in charge of the nuclear waste materials. He was like a deputy nuclear guy, had a fondness for ladies' suitcases.
Are you talking about Sam?
Yes, thank you, sir. Him. So these are the people that we've had running these two entities.
Sam Brinton or Britton or what was his
name? I don't know what the hell his name was. He was just he just was a freak. I don't know who, I don't know what his name was. I don't care. He was the freak that stole ladies' luggage.
Yes.
And their clothes and all this stuff. So these are the people that our current president has put in charge of these departments. So Is it shocking? Now that I put it like that, answer yourself. Answer me if you think it's shocking that something like this would happen. See, now I put it in perspective. That makes it all better, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. I know. I know it doesn't. It doesn't make it all better at all. I get you. Completely understand. All right, so welcome to the show. So this is one of the things that we're watching today. The other couple of, I mean, it's just a weird, I mean, everybody's, look, half of you are already home drunk. You guys are baking. You got a little carried away. You know, maybe you're making some, I had a family member that would make brandy Christmas truffles. Maybe you're doing one of those things and you used a little too much or had a little too much for you. Maybe you're just not at work. Maybe you're at work and it's like the Clark Griswold. It's like the scene of National Lampoon's Family Vacation where he's like the last guy there and all the presents are the same and he's stacking it up on the boss's desk and you're in that stage. You're in that mood. Maybe it's that. But regardless, It's almost Christmas, and so we're all sort of, you know. And this is also, too, when some of the big stuff, I have to say, if something was going to drop, this would be, now would be the time to do it. So we've got a number of things. We have more information also about the shooting that took place yesterday in Wisconsin. And as more, it was a 15-year-old girl. I don't like saying their names because the copycat thing is a real, that's a real thing. The copycat killing is a real thing. She apparently, this girl was apparently also inspired by Columbine. And this is one of the criticisms I have of the press and a lot of other people, some of the leftist talking heads, particularly out there, because when they start talking about this stuff, they it's wall-to-wall coverage of these, of the names of these killers. And you know, everybody ends up knowing the names and nobody ends up remembering the victims. And it's just, it's wall-to-wall coverage. And that kind of, I will never understand it, but that kind of notoriety is very attractive for these types of killers, for these people. I will say, I think it is a little odd that it was a 15-year-old girl. That's a little different. But everything else isn't odd, especially when you look at how she, you know, apparently offed herself when cops showed up. That's typically the standard is it's usually not, you know, the cops don't really necessarily, I mean, what happened in Nashville was kind of rare. It's usually the killers will kill themselves. But the fact that you had a chick who wanted to be trans in Nashville or wanted to be a dude and said she was trans or however you put that in Nashville. And then now you have this female here. It is a little, it's a little odd that it's a chick, as I said. But, you know, with that, I mean, the stories that are coming out, the more information that's coming out about this. So you have a 15-year-old and had a handgun that was confirmed. It's illegal for a 15-year-old to, I know this is not news to you, but it's illegal for a 15-year-old to get a handgun and run around with a handgun. That's not something that, just got to say, it's not something that you, it's not legal. It's not legal in any state. It's not legal anywhere. The president had issued a statement on it where he called for, let me pull this up, because I sent out a newsletter about this last night after it happened. He issued a statement saying that he wants to ban assault weapons. He wants to establish a universal background check. I'm looking at his letter. He wants to also have a limitation on magazine capacity, what he calls high capacity, whatever that means. Now, it's a smart move from a guy who literally just pardoned his son for a whole bunch of crimes, including falsifying information on his 4473 for a gun that was purchased, again, illegally by his son. And then his daughter-in-law slash son's girlfriend disposed of it, tossed it in a trash can legit across the street from a school. Real smart move from a guy who did that. But I'm curious as to why he's calling for all these things, none of which would have had any impact at all whatsoever. He calls for, he reinstated his call for an assault weapons ban, a stupid made up word, when it was a handgun that was used. It wasn't a rifle. He established he demanded universal background checks, which you can't have a universal background check unless you have the establishment of a national registry. We've talked about that before. And he assumes that this 15-year-old, I guess, walked into a gun store and that an FFL actually sold her a gun. That's the only way that that makes sense. I mean, he calls for stuff that makes zero sense. And I was asking some people yesterday, well, what would you actually propose? Without exception, not even one. In the past, maybe there would be like one or two, but there was not even one. Yesterday, one progressive, and some of them were talking heads that I was going back and forth with. Not a single one of them had any proposals. Their only response was that Republicans wanted more death. That was it. They just wanted a name call about guns. They didn't actually want to solve anything. They had no idea, except for ban everything, that was their only solution. As though crime began when the gun was introduced. That's how they act. I mean, that means in the entirety of human history, we've never had any murder. We never had any mass casualty, anything. I mean, that's not true, but that's apparently what these people tell themselves and believe in order to make these stupid arguments. But not a single person had an actual serious proposal. Some of them would just Google Everytown stuff and act like they weren't copy and pasting, you know, verbatim. The left, and this has been my history and my experience with all of this, the left has never, ever had any kind of actual solution. None. And they do not want to hear you when you talk about yours. Like the big debate over hardening schools. Why is this a debate? I made mention of this in the newsletter last night. Why the hell is this a debate? They have long argued against hardening schools because they claim that having extra security is like a prison. I mean, do stadiums feel like prisons? Do jewelry stores feel like prisons? I mean, all of these places have way more security for their activities and their products that they sell than we have for our kids in schools. And are not our kids infinitely more valuable? Apparently, the left doesn't think that real good security doesn't give itself away either. You know, you may incorporate plainclothes officers, double locking doors, etc., and teachers who want to train and carry with permission of parents. But those things are all the last line of defense. All of that stuff is the last line of defense. A door lock, if it comes down to the door lock, then all of the other layers of defense have failed. We're going to talk about that coming up as we move and go into the bottom of this first hour. Our partners who help make it so ReadyWise, they're always ready, even if you're not. Free and fast shipping on most orders. This is premium survival food, and they have an array of product choices to meet every budget. They have an emergency 1 month supply. They have a 3 month emergency food supply. Everything that they have is designed by their team of in-house culinary experts to make sure that what you're getting meets your nutritional values, your requirements, your proteins, your healthy carbs, all of it. The best in taste. These are great tasting meals with ReadyWise. And you know the chain of command from start to finish with your food. U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant sent to you, your U.S. doorstep. Comfort in a crisis and beyond with a 25-year shelf life. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
TikTok is asking the Supreme Court to block a law that could ban the app. I do think it's weird that we can't convince people because people are sheep. We can't convince people to stop using TikTok. So we're just going to have the government ban it because we can't. We apparently telling them that you're literally being a prostitute for the CCP and having your information harvested by them. That's not enough to appeal to people's common sense, good nature, or brain power. So we're having to have the Supreme Court. We're begging them to come and block it because people are stupid and asteroids should come and obliterate this rock. Merry Christmas. That's just dumb to me that we do this. Ban everything. We're going to talk about this coming up. Friendship after 50. Apparently, I don't care about this headline. I don't really care. Moving on. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. I don't care. Go make friends or don't. Don't bitch about it to me. I don't care.
Like Monday for some reason.
I'm just done. Start putting a startup that puts ammo. Oh, now this one. ammo vending machines and grocery stores?
Let's investigate this.
Yes, please. I need to get it. Hang on. Wait, everybody hold up. Pause the show. I need to make a note of who this is so I can play into it in French. Okay. Just anyway, back to the headline. Ammo vending machines in grocery stores. There's a startup that plans to grow this and expand it. Can it's based in Dallas.
Yeah.
American Rounds rolled its first automated retail ammo. It's in a grocery store, but it's in Pell City, Alabama. Why are you going to Bama? Why can't you come do that here? All kinds of ammo. That actually is amazing. And then, of course, you have people who are like, you have a social responsibility to make it possible, blah, blah, blah. Or no, you don't. Other people do.
When I was younger, I had a friend that had a soda machine in his garage, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I would love an ammo machine in my garage.
Why? I want one in my garage that someone can just come and they serve it, service it. I love this. But this idea that companies have a social... No, they don't. Shut up. That's you. That's when people are too lazy. I'm too lazy and stupid to have my own responsibility about society. So I'm going to ask the companies that make products I purchase to do it for me. Shut up. Let's see here. Moving on. That's a good one. Species in Chernobyl of fungus is mutating to feed on nuclear radiation. That's actually kind of cool. Maybe we can send that out on the drone since we lost nuclear. I mean, great job, Biden. Great job. You literally have one job. But there, it's mutating to feed on nuclear radiation. I feel like this is some kid's crazy science experiment in a way, right? And they're trying to say that X has a declining user base. And that's from Mashable, which is the same. It brings you the same journalistic news and literary value as smearing feces on a dive bar bathroom wall. Same thing. We got a lot more coming up. Drone fever and more. Stick with us. If you're looking for a convenient, affordable way to access medications and treatments you can trust, All Family Pharmacy has you covered. Whether it's the flu or parasites, cancer support, or general well-being, All Family Pharmacy's online service makes getting the medications you need hassle-free. With All Family, it's simple. You can choose the individual medications that best suit your needs or opt for one of their comprehensive treatment packages designed to give you everything that you need in one convenient order. And every order comes with a doctor's prescription included. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or any other effective medications, they have it all. And you can get fast shipping with most orders shipping in 2 to 3 business days. Medications start as low as $3 per capsule, making it really easy to take charge of your health without breaking the bank. No insurance needed. You can skip the paperwork and get the treatments you need directly. Stock up with their emergency preparedness bundles and access over 200 medications online anytime. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. Of course, you know, we were talking just a little bit about the shooting that took place in Wisconsin yesterday and how you have more information coming out about this. And I was talking about it right before we, you know, went into headlines and went to break about the arguing and the debating over hardening schools, right? And I don't know why the left is hell bent against it. I don't get it. I don't understand why they're so against it. I've made mention of this so many times before, in that to, you know, double locking doors, to have teachers who want to carry plainclothes officers. The left thinks that, they keep saying that it's like a prison. And I feel like they've never been into a prison if they think that good security is like a prison. They go to stadiums to watch sports. They go to concert venues. They'll go to jewelry stores. I mean, hell, probably even Starbucks has more. Who knows? Security. Who knows? But it just seems like every other place, they don't have a problem with it. It doesn't feel like a prison. And that's what you're talking about, more of that type of security. Good security isn't always noticeable. But the problem is this. That's just the last line of defense. If the safety of your child is depending upon the last thing, the last gatekeeper, whether or not that door's locked, there are a lot of other layers that have failed. That's the reality of it. And the first line of defense are the parents. I'm going to tell you something. I am not going to be blamed or have my rights up for forfeit because some parents out there were garbage. Not going to happen. They raise monsters the likes of against which we have to arm ourselves to protect ourselves and our families. So no, that's not a good justification to deprive someone of a God-given right. Oh, you got some deadbeat parents that raised a monster. No. It turned out the teenage girl was 15 years old and had this handgun, which, you know, 15-year-olds can't go out and buy handguns. And I know the investigation, they're going to look more into it. I've seen reports that said, well, the dad gave it to her, blah, 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 all this stuff. I want to see more things confirmed by law enforcement before we go down that route. But the bottom line is that if you have a 15-year-old under your roof who's obsessed with Columbine and is obsessed with violence and death and is on a downward doom spiral and you don't notice it, you should be chemically castrated so that you don't procreate and plague the earth with your spawn because you're too stupid to raise children. That's God's honest truth. Every single one of these killers, especially if they were teenagers, there are warning signs that you don't need a destruction of due process in the form of silly red flag law. You don't need that in order to act. Just because some people are unfamiliar with the vast number of legal options that exist to them, to have someone adjudicated unfit or declared a prohibited possessor in a court of law doesn't mean that those options don't exist. That's what the left wants you to think. The left are morons. They have no idea about gun law. Because they're ignorant of it, they think it doesn't exist. They have no familiarity with object permanence. They're like babies. They think that when you play peekaboo, you disappear. They're shocked. But this 15-year-old, apparently, there was this manifest going around. This manifesto. And apparently, she was a big feminist. And saying, like, the manifesto that was shared said, quote, women are the only hope for this wretched world. But even women have been brainwashed by, oh my gosh, I can't even read it out loud because it makes me feel like I've drunk the worst alcohol ever. And it already gives me a hangover headache. I can't even get through it. It's so bad. She says the phrase Red Femme Hitler, if that helps. She has horrible grammar. If she just, you know, had spent more time maybe on her grammar instead of her murder fetish. Here's my question, because she's like big time into big time feminist and all this stuff. And she uses racial slurs in it as well. I'm not going to say what they are, but she uses racial slurs. You know, she's a racist leftist. I mean, you know, this is, you know, it's a day that ends in Y. Why? I was reading this. And I was, you know, because some of the pictures are floating out there. I was reading this manifesto, thinking of the photos. And I thought, you stupid broad, why can't you just read Sylvia Plath like every other dumb, brain-dead feminist out there? Why can't you just read Margaret Atwood? You don't have to go shoot up a school. You know what? Here's what you do. Go to Hot Topic and have daddy buy you some overpriced Junko jeans, right? Get you a chain that you attach your wallet that has nothing in it to, okay? Put on eyeliner badly. Use manic panic in your hair and pick up a copy of Sylvia Plath, The Gateway for Stupid Feminists, and pretend that it's mind-breaking or groundbreaking or that depression is angsty and edgy. Get into that. Get into Margaret Atwood and wear a red cape and act like you're suppressed in a country that actually gives the matriarchy more rights than they give men. Go ahead and do all of that and pat yourself on the back for being just the prototypical moron. Instead, she went and shot up a school. So I don't, a 15-year-old that's able to do that. This is one of the things that parents, like bad parents, I guess they just allowed for her to get like this. How is that my fault? How is it your fault? You know, we had some of these lawmakers out here running their mouths. Audio somebody 12, Gwen Moore. She's saying all this stuff needs to be studied. Listen.
And, you know, my thought is that we don't have a lot of information, and that's why it's really important for us to support efforts that people have made consistently to have the CDC and other private foundations really try to study what the cause of this violence is. You know, we already know that there are too many guns. You know, a lot of people say it's the mental health or it's video games. We don't know.
Yeah, we do. We do. We absolutely do. You walking mental abortion. We know. We know exactly what it is. Some people, we just don't know. Last week, all you leftists were celebrating the public gunning down of a healthcare CEO on CNN. On MSNBC, Washington Post reporters, they thought it was great. It fulfilled one of their narratives about CEOs and big bad insurance companies. He got gunned down in the middle of the street, in front of a Hilton, no less, in Manhattan, right there. I mean, it's just blocks away from their Christmas tree. He got murked in broad, you know, well, early morning light, but broad daylight. They actually had no problem with a gun then, because it was somebody they didn't like. Somebody they couldn't use. So they were all right about it. You think that kids aren't watching that? When they're watching their adults in their lives or on TV that their parents are watching celebrate the gunning down of this guy because they just didn't like him fulfilling this stupid progressive narrative. And then they want to turn around literally the next week and then act like guns are bad because a 15-year-old illegally acquired one? What? Pick a lane. This is so asinine. What Gwen Moore is talking about here is a law she's unaware of. It's called the Dickey Amendment. It was passed in the 90s because people wanted to do something to make themselves feel better. They said that we need to be able to study the causes of gun violence. Like, you know, the brain trust that's in D.C. decided that they needed to eat taxpayer dollars to figure out, Kane, why gangbangers are gangbanging. They just don't know why people are selling the drugs. And they wanted to act like there was a separate... Like the school shootings or something like that, which are rare and are the exception, which is why they're not the universal rule, whereas drug and gang violence actually are the rule when it comes to homicides and mass casualty incidents and driving crime, etc. They wanted to study why this was. They needed to study it. The Dickey Amendment was drafted and passed to state that, sure, you can study homicide, you can study factors like mental health, you can study all this stuff, but what you can't do is use taxpayer dollars to either advocate for or advocate against firearms and firearm ownership. You can't do that. That has never been good enough for the left, because the sole purpose they had of wanting to study this wasn't because they actually care about saving lives. These people don't care about saving lives. They made a business out of walking women into a meat grinder called Planned Parenthood, churning the baby out, making sausage for their executives. They made a whole thing of it. They launder money through it. They donate to Democrats through it. So let's stop pretending that these jackasses care about life, okay? Let's stop. They don't. When it's convenient for them, they do. But they didn't like this stipulation within the Dickey Amendment. That's been law since the 90s. You can't use taxpayer dollars to advocate for or against firearm ownership. Okay? Well, that's what they wanted to do. That's all they've ever wanted to do. They don't mourn for life lost. They mourn for opportunity lost. The moment the news of a tragedy hits the televisions, newspapers, social media, they're already thinking of ways that they can maximize this to their advantage. They were doing this after Parkland. I don't know if you guys knew this, but they had, it was the Knickerbocker firm that's in D.C. Anita Dunn works there. They were down there in Parkland right after this happened. They had their high-powered Democrat PR people. Who do you think put March for Lives together? It was their people. It was Anita Dunn. It was all those people. There are photos of it all over the place. And I talked to the parents, some of them who lost their precious children in Parkland, and they were treated pretty scornfully when they couldn't be pressured into joining the anti-gun movement there in Parkland. And she was there. All these, all that firm was there. They were all there. This isn't about saving lives. It's about how can they use this to get something that they want from their agenda. And the way that they write about this, oh, there's no, you're not allowed to study any kind of firearm prevention, you know, anything, as long as you don't politicize it. But the left can't help themselves. They got to politicize it. None of this. And what is it going to solve? You know what the biggest problem is? The policies they support. The fact that you got a family, families, middle class families in the United States cannot live on one income anymore. You have to sacrifice. You have to struggle. Used to not be like that, but the government needed to spend everybody's money. Right? We had to go fight forever wars. We had to go nation build. We had to hand out entitlements like it was Halloween candy to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that rolled through the Rio, the southern border. Oh, we had to fund a whole bunch of stuff that was completely unrelated to the federal government's original purpose. We had to make it economically impossible for families to operate in the best manner for families to operate. We had to make college super expensive while simultaneously shaming people for not going and getting four-year degrees. And then shaming them if they went to the wrong kind of college. We had to do all that. We had to start shaming women into thinking that they were just dumb bimbos who are nothing more than sex dolls that breathe for the frat progressive bros that ruin frat culture. The progressive bros out there who want to be able to have one night stands and not be responsible for any life created. And the women go right along with it while acting like it's some form of empowerment. One of the greatest tricks perpetuated upon women since the snake told Eve to eat the apple. Or was it their own free will? We have men who are browbeaten by the matriarchy so that now nobody wants to get married. Nobody wants to create more hellspawn to cover this godforsaken rock. And then Democrats are like, well, gosh, how did we get here? I guess we should ban guns. Hell, how about we ban you? That's the problem. It's just we're going to keep having these problems and having these tragedies because you have half the country that's not serious. I would actually say half of that half of the country, if I'm being honest. I think there are some Democrats who don't know where the hell else to go. They can't really identify as Republican because Republican means a whole bunch of stuff now. They know that they're not conservative, even though that's really about conserving individual liberty. But, it, you know, whatever. But they know that they're not really Democrat. They don't know where else to go. So they're kind of stuck in the middle. Whose house did they go to for Christmas? Wherever it doesn't play. Baby, it's cold outside, maybe. Our partners over at Burn a Gun, the non-firearm. And it's always good to diversify your self-defense arsenal because, you know, I would love to, I carry all the time and I have zero problem using lethal force. You come at me, UFA, UFO. That's kind of how I look at it. But I know that there are areas that are gun-free zones or gun-free buildings, private property or whatever it is. And sometimes, you know, you don't have the luxury of declining to go there. Maybe you got to go there as part of your job, but you also don't want to be a statistic. This is where Burn a Gun comes in. Stun guns, regular ones, are restricted to like one or two shots. Burna's most popular model, the Burna SD, has a 5-round capacity and shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. They have a whole carry bundle that you can get. This is a great holiday gift, too, by the way. You can get defense spray. They have a LE launcher carry bundle. They got all kinds of stuff. But it provides to you instant readiness, no recoil, easy target acquisition. It's legal in all 50 states. No background checks, no permits. They can ship it right to your front porch, and it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. It's an effective deterrent, and it's another option that you can have for self-defense, particularly when the state's trying to deny you, or maybe a property owner wants to deny you. You can visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
What she's been saying to people over the last couple of weeks, donors, other supporters that she's been talking with, is, you haven't seen the last of me. I'm not going quietly into the night. advisors, people close to her, are debating about what that means. They do not want her final official act ever to be essentially certifying Donald Trump's win over her, especially 4 years after January 6th. And so they look at this governor's race in California in 2026, and it seems to them like a layup.
Really? Are we ever going to get rid of her? They don't really like her. They don't like her out in California. They don't really like her federally. They don't like her. You can't stop trying to make fetch happen. Stop it, Gretchen. Are we just never going to get rid of her? She's going to run in California, Kamala Harris, considering a potential run for California governor. I got to tell you, I feel like that would be blocked. Because nobody likes it. Everybody's got grievances. They're mad because she wasted so much money. I have to tell you, too, part of that is Democrats wasting a lot of money. They made her the fall guy for it. They wouldn't get Biden out, and they shoved her in there. I'm not defending her, but I'm just saying, you know, keep it in perspective. We got a second hour coming up. Don't miss. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. Patriot Mobile exists. And because they offer the best service and it's affordable for plans for any size business, any size family, they can tailor make them to what your budget requires. And they have exceptional nationwide coverage in all three major networks. For their Every Friday Matter special, you can get a brand new smartphone when you make the switch. And it's super easy to do. 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to get you all switched up. You can keep your current number if you want, get a new one. But you'll get that free smartphone as part of their special Every Friday Matters offer. But to take advantage of it, you got to use promo code Friday. And you need to do it while they still have inventory because it's a limited time offer or until supplies run out. Seamless switching. And you're supporting the things that you vote to protect. So it's a free smartphone, offers eligible only with promo code Friday, limited time or until supplies run out. Terms and conditions apply. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana 972 Patriot.
Sure. Of course. I mean, just swamp's going to swamp, right? 1,400 pages, still haven't seen the text. Multiple subject matters. Important healthcare legislation. In the context of extenders piled on the back of a 3-month CR with about $110 billion unpaid for, $25 billion of healthcare policy, half of which is fake pay for, being sold that is pay for because they're gimmicks and shuffling around the decks. Things like E15, which we didn't even have a full debate on. This is not the way to do business, right? And so, we've said we'd do something different. And since we've been given the majority again, we're adding $330 billion. In literally totally unpaid for additional deficit spending just since November 5th.
Yeah, they want to spend more. I don't know why the speaker is allowing for like a budget, just pass the CR and get on with it. Oh, but hey, remember the guy who's not in Congress anymore wanted a big old fight at the most inopportune time over speaker when no one else was prepared to step up. So we got an equal rhino with even less seniority as speaker. Great job. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the second hour. And I'm saying that's not the best way to start off. Johnson needs just to, and he needs to stop getting cover from party leaders. That would be great, guys. Thanks. Including POTUS-elect. Stop it. Don't give this guy cover. The reason that he's compromising and not just like kicking over a CR, a continuing resolution for this budget stuff, is because he keeps getting justification not to do so whenever he's given cover by people who outrank him in the GOP. That's an issue. We can't be doing that. I'm done with it. I don't want more of the same. People are tired of more of the same. Honestly, a lot of Republican stuff isn't that much different from Democrats. Oh, it makes people mad when I say that. The people who have a grift to cover get mad when I say that. But it's God's honest truth. I mean, are we going to walk away from deportations? Are we going to slow at building the wall? We never got Obamacare overturned, despite every single damn Republican that sits in a seat in D.C. campaigning on it. So what do we get for our money? Oh, we get to pretend that we're actually more aligned with the Constitution than Democrats. OK, so again, welcome. You can you're listening to the program either across the country or you're watching at 3:47. The chat's at Rumble if you're unaware. Of course, over at Substack as well. Yeah, I'm aggravated over this because I'm tired of paying taxes to cover the backside of a government that can't stop spending. This story, this stuff enrages me. It absolutely enrages me. So I don't know why it is we keep doing it. This is not what we voted for. So I really think, and this was part of one of the newsletters that went out for headlines. I just don't know why Johnson has got to get with it a little bit here. They've got to cut spending. Why would you have, right before, you know, you're about to see your party take over the White House and the Senate and the House, and you're going to greenlight the passage of an omnibus? And then we're all going to act like, oh yeah, we're really serious about spending. It's a mess. It's going to be a mess. Just do the CR and then wait until we have the numbers in the House and in the Senate. And then maybe we can cut a little bit. But I don't think Republicans want the austerity that comes with cutting. They're too dependent upon that government cash. They got all their special projects. They don't want to lose any of that. They don't want to lose it. A few other things I want to touch on as well, and we'll keep an eye on that, all of that stuff. I didn't get to this, but, there's a couple of things that we're going to talk about the Canada and apparently what's going on with the governor of Canada. Right, Kane? You know the governor of Canada. Yeah. Yeah, he seems like he's not bad, the governor of Canada. No, he's horrible. He's a little Castro. Yeah. America's hat. We're going to talk about the drama that's happening with them and calls for Trudeau to step down, which is pretty serious. Then we'll continue following this CR fight. Yeah, 1,500 page. So wait, they're supposed to vote on this tomorrow. And as of last night at 8 o'clock, they did not have the bill yet. Wow. Just let it expire. Let the government shut down. They're terrified of having a government shutdown. I love government shutdowns. You think they're going to shut it down, Kane?
I hope they do.
I don't think they will.
We're getting a whole new Congress here in a month. I don't know what they're doing.
Being stupid.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They are being absolutely idiotic, completely idiotic. But that's them. The Elon Musk apparently was meeting with Nigel Farage and other leaders in the UK. He met them at Mar-a-Lago, and there's rumors that he gave them, there's rumors of a $100 million donation going around. Farage is a member of Parliament, and he's the leader of Reform UK, and he was also at the head of the Brexit. He's a conservative over there. So he's been an MP, leader of Reform UK, and there's discussion as to what Musk can do to partner maybe with the more conservative members of British government to push back and save British culture and or the British, you know, Britain, period, similar to what Musk contributed here in the U.S. That might be fun. That might be fun to watch. It also gives him a lot of power, but it might be fun to watch. What happened? Although our Brits, I don't know, are Brits ready to kind of push back against the woke scolds and the crushing wave of completely unmitigated, much of it illegal immigration into their country? I mean, even Germany's saying enough. Austria is even saying enough. A lot of these European nations are saying enough. We don't have the resources. Their crime is because they can't vet anybody who's coming in. It's all military age men. Enough is enough. Will it? I don't know. Because I do think that the makeup of sentiment and attitudes in the UK are very different from what they are in America. Like, we live and breathe this type of stuff. Like, other people talk about revolution. We succeeded. We weren't like France in which we failed and then we had a dictator followed by a restoration of the monarchy. We didn't do any of that. It's stuck for now. But they're very different sentiments and attitude. I would be interested to see if they were able to do the same over there. It's something definitely to watch. I wanted to also touch on, because we were talking about drones. We've been discussing drones. There was a couple of stories that I didn't get to, including, and I'm going to push this one. We're talking about the Wisconsin shooting and the way that Democrats are trying to seize upon it also. And they're not going to do anything right now, but they are saber rattling. And I think that they are using a lot of the discussion surrounding the Abundant Life school shooting as a way to kind of regroup their side. This is one of the things I've been watching. I really do think that they're using it as a regrouping mechanism. They're trying to get everybody back on the same page because everyone was so all over the place and fighting with each other over DEI and immigration. And I think they're just happy to have, I know it sounds sick, but I think they're happy to have something around which they can rally and regroup. So they're back to gun control. That's their safe space. They always go back to gun control. They don't have any solutions, but you know, that's it. Speaking of this yesterday, I don't know if I want to play this whole cut, but the police chief at the time, they wouldn't release the age or gender of the killer. Why was that? Why were they hesitant to mention the gender of the killer? Because it's a girl and she's not trans. Did they think she was? I was wondering about that. Did they think that she was trans and that's why they didn't want to release it? I don't know. It's, I don't know. It was weird that they didn't. And it just fueled conspiracy theories. Why would you not release it? Doesn't make any sense. I think the police chief, and well, the Madison, Wisconsin police chief, of course, is pretty left. A couple of other things here. The other the headline I saw was a second grader who called 911. Now, when that headline hit, I saw a lot of the gun control activists saying, this is how sad society is. A second grader had to call 911. My first thought was that school had nothing in place. So a second grader had to call 911. That was my first thought. A second grader. They had no warning system. You have to realize we live in a sick society where wayward behavior is rewarded, criminality is protected, the boundary between right and wrong is being blurred away. And in this type of environment, because we have always had firearms, we've always had guns in this country, firearm ownership, private ownership, unfettered by the government, predates this republic. We've always had people who built guns. We've always had people that have had guns. They predate this republic. But a relatively new phenomenon are these mass casualty incidents, specifically ones that target schools. And I go back to what I was just saying about our society. It's a trash garbage society. So in a trash garbage society, you have to realize that trash garbage societies create trash garbage people who are going to do trash garbage things like target schools. And that's exactly what we saw in this situation. I do think it's interesting how a lot of the news of it has gone away. Kane, or am I overthinking it?
No, I was actually commenting to Juan about that this morning. I noticed when we were getting set up for the show that it's like, wow, where was this?
15, a girl?
Yeah, what? That's what I think.
So we had in Nashville, it was trans Tifa. So this is Fem Tifa.
Yeah, I guess.
That's why you have to, why schools must be protected now, because everybody wants to target schools. We have a lot more to get into, including got stuff with Doge. We've got some sound bites as well, especially about this ABC stuff. And I have a tale, two tales of really ridiculous media, ABC and CNN. And the CNN story, I cannot get over. This chick who I didn't know she was like some Z-list actress. She thought that she was legit saving a prisoner in Syria, and they made a big deal about it. And as it turns out, she was like apparently springing one of Assad's torturers or something like that. Like, I don't like the rebels. I don't like Assad either. I don't have to like anybody. Neither do you. But I think it was funny that she thought that she was freeing some sort of like innocent dove. Black Rifle Coffee has a new roast, their Freedom Roast. It's what the founders would have drank. They would have drank it, totally. Had Black Rifle Coffee been around then. Veteran-owned company. They employ veterans active duty. And their Freedom Roast, so smooth and full of flavor. And you can save 20% using code Dana. And while you're there, subscribe to the Black Rifle Coffee Club. You get free shipping, automated orders right to your doorstep of your favorite brew. So you never have to ever go out of a morning all like stressed out and caffeine free because you ran out of coffee. You never have to do that. Always convenient. And you don't have to just get the Freedom Roast. You can also check out the Silencer Smooth, the Just Black. They have many, many, many different types of roasts. And if you're good on, you know, your coffee, which they have whole bean K-cups and ready to drink, ground as well, then you can get apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Perfect Christmas present also helps everything you to get everything you need for the perfect brew. So the Freedom Roast, Black Rifle Coffee, taste the other top shelf roast as well. Whatever you decide, though, you get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Argentina's making some good moves on firearms. This is interesting. So one of the things that they're doing is lowering the minimum age for authorization to carry firearms to 18. And they adopted that measure. And I think what it goes into effect pretty soon, because in the United States, it's, you know, 21 to carry it unless it's, you know, 18, with a shotgun, hunting rifle, something like that. Interesting. And he's been, Javier Milei has been just absolutely deregulating the Argentinian government at a rate of speed that has never before been seen. And they're getting in a lot of government revenue after doing that. I hope that Republicans pay attention to that, not just give it lip service. Also, some concerned shoppers are stockpiling goods because everything is stupid. Stop listening to the media on this stuff. So apparently people are stockpiling, what, canned foods and some things like that, dog food and paper towels. And there, I get that having a prepper's pantry, that's not a bad thing. I wouldn't even describe that as stockpiling. I would just say that that's like preparation. But I do think that certain people, I have noticed, like there's like a run on certain canned goods, and it's because people are, stop it. Don't listen to the media fear mongering on this stuff. Some people are wanting to swap turkey for takeout. A poll suggests that Americans are rejecting tradition, and it's not an anti-Christian thing. I think it's just people are busy and they're tired. 2,000 adults were surveyed. 31% of them apparently want to see more unusual alternatives. I don't know. I like the turkey. I like, you know, usually do red meat on Christmas. I like turkey on Thanksgiving. I like that kind of stuff. I don't care. I eat cardboard for all I care. I really don't care. Kane says to not. I don't care. He cares. I don't. Just saying. You know, do whatever you want to do, and, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know people who have tamales on Christmas Eve. They do tamales every Christmas Eve. That's a big thing. Do whatever you want to do. It's all American. All right, we got a lot more on the way, including, we got to talk about some grifters, and we got to talk about CR. Stick with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, as we hold our loved ones close this holiday season, we as a nation must renew our commitment to end the horror of gun violence, both mass shootings and everyday gun violence that touches so many communities in our nation. We must end it, and we must be committed to have the courage to know that solutions are in hand. But we need elected leaders to have the courage to step up.
And do what? Do what? Kamala Harris, a day late and a dollar short, as always, decides to go out and speak about, what, try to push gun control after Wisconsin? It's not shocking. But again, it's just a bunch of ridiculousness. Like, why are we... for what law do they propose that would have prevented any of this? They're all trying to rally and get back to the same square, and they're using this as the means to do so. Again, these were also the same people that did cheer the CEO's execution last week by a firearm. But hey, that was okay then. That was all right then. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this second hour. I saw that, and that's brand new from her. Brand new from her. Well, she thinks that, she says that she's using this to call for more of the same that has not ever worked. I just get tired of it. People sit here and they've been proposing like a number of different things. Well, you know, we need to have safe storage. Okay, who's going to enforce safe storage? Are you going to send agents to the homes of every single innocent firearm owning American in the United States? The same left that was just decrying the idea of deportation because they couldn't understand possibly how every single person who entered illegally could be found and sent back to their country of origin. So the safe storage stuff. So you want an agent of state. First off, what they're doing is they're making the argument for the left for a national registry, because in order to do checks, you're already pushing to incorporate firearm owners as federal firearms licensees. And that's what Joe Biden has proposed. He wants to make just basic gun ownership to where you have to have an FFL. Not, it doesn't matter if you're in retail, doesn't matter if you're selling anything like that. If you have an FFL, you just for regular firearm owners. So people who are pushing safe storage for none of the state, not a single damn one of the states, including California and New York, who already have quote unquote storage laws, it's not had any kind of impact, by the way, on their homicide rate. Absolutely none. That's number one. Number two, you're inviting agents of state into your home to check and see whether or not they think that you've stored your firearms adequately. So they're going to know exactly what you have, and they're going to treat you like an FFL. And I'm assuming it would be the ATF, right, Kane? The same ATF that had its own security staff pilfer tons of guns from its inventory. I don't know if you guys knew this. This is a pretty big story. The ATF had their own employees steal all their guns that they had in their inventory. Some of it was ATF-owned firearms. Some of it was confiscated, etc. And they had their security personnel, their employees, stealing from them, taking from it. And then they lost a bunch. They don't even know how. So that entity, the entity that ran guns in Mexico, according to the Fast and Furious op, that entity would be the one in charge of coming into your home and checking how you store your firearms. No, that's what that means. That's how you have to do safe storage. So the people out there talking about it, by the way, if they go in to your home to check safe storage and they see something else maybe that they don't like, who's to say that they're not going to pop you for that? Just saying. I mean, go ahead and open those drawers if you think that that's what you want to do. Unbelievable. Now, people can freely move to China if they want. I want to talk about a couple other different things here, including this thing. Can we just pause for a minute? I don't know about you. I watch, I like Taylor Sheridan. I think Landman's a little blue in terms of humor. Billy Bob Thornton's spectacular in that series, though. Full disclosure, they actually, we met the scout, the location scout for Landman because they thought about using our house as a set at one point. They didn't. But how that would have actually been kind of cool. They didn't do it, but they thought about it. And I thought that might be kind of neat. Like only if it's like Billy Bob Thornton's house, because that would be fascinating to like, you know, stand in the corner and watch a scene actually work. That would be, I have no desire to be in it at all. I just like to see how the sausage is made. So anyway, we started watching Landman and we've been watching Mayor Kingstown. I like all of his stuff. Yellowstone, the last season of Yellowstone wrapped up. And I thought it was actually done really well. Anyone who watches it, they pick up real quick. Sheridan doesn't come out and say he's a hardcore righty, but you can pretty much tell that from the dialogue that he has. The dialogue where he talks about oil and gas and he talks about gun ownership and land and all this other stuff and bashes big government one side and up down the other in every single episode. And it's very refreshing, and it's not done in a manner that is forced or cringy. I always hate when people make a film or make a song with the desire to be political first, and then the art is the secondary consideration. I hate that stuff, and nobody's more guilty of it than people on the right. God love you, but you are. People on the left, they're a little, they've had practice with it. You know, they're used to slipping stuff in their storylines. We don't do that because we're, you know, we're not liars. So, you know, anyway, so I saw this on social media last night, and some of these accounts I don't follow and I don't have anything to do with because I just don't subscribe to any of it. But I saw some dude who I guess is a conservative influencer was out there, and I watched the last season of Yellowstone. I don't know who says stuff like this. He posted one of the final scenes of Yellowstone was the Native Indian tribe children taking over the ranch and knocking over the gravestones of Dutton ancestors while laughing. That's how Taylor Sheridan sent off the Dutton family. Are you paying attention yet? And Kevin Sorbo, Christian Kevin Sorbo, even responded to it saying that's incredibly disappointing. Nobody watched the episode. I watched the damn episode. And what happened was you had teenagers who were in after. I don't care about spoiler alerts. I'm not here to do that and gatekeep for you. But in that episode, there were like three or four Native American teenagers that were knocking over the Dutton's headstones, and the elders came in there. Mo the elder came in there and blasted them and said, "How dare you?" And he just, I mean, he just about beat him to death. He was screaming at them. He was like, "How dare you do this?" He was like, "They fought to and died to defend this land." And the whole episode was how they both realized the Native Americans and the Dutton family, they all realized that they had been on the same side the entire time. They didn't want to have corporations come in and overdevelop the land and kill all the wildlife and be horrible stewards, you know, of all this stuff. And I would play this for you, but we can't play it because we'll get kicked off of YouTube. It would be a strike against us, so I can't share with you the clip of it because YouTube will literally take our account off air, even though it's newsworthy, but that's the way it is. And fair use, but okay. But he like blasted them for doing this. And then he very carefully and arduously pulled back every single headstone. And in the end, the head of the tribe, you know, was standing there and he had a tear down his face because he was thinking, he finally realized these two men had begun as they, their relationship started in the series as mortal enemies. And then they realized we are actually on the same side. And they ended up selling the ranch to the Native American tribe for like, you know, a dollar, whatever, from what how they purchased it back in like 1823. And I had said in the very beginning of the season, I'm like, I wonder if they're going to fulfill what they said in the first installment of this story. In 1823, they had said, well, in seven generations, you can have it back. That's what Tim McGraw's character had told one of the elders of the tribe. And seven generations later, here it is. And it was a pretty amazing thing. They ended up both wanting to protect that land and not have it overdeveloped. None of the kids wanted it. John Dutton's kids in the series did not want the ranch. So they honored their promise to their father by not having the land overdeveloped. And they also got out from underneath the ranch. So I don't know why someone's lying about something as stupid as this. Like, I don't understand people who go out and charlatan like this. And that's exactly what it is. And double down on it. Because when this was brought up, this dude had said, oh, well, that was the trajectory. No, it wasn't. Well, they ended up losing the ranch because, as I just said, neither kid wanted it. So they ended up, it actually was the complete opposite of what was being claimed in that post on X, the absolute opposite. So this, it's, I don't know why people make up this stuff. I thought it was a great scene. I thought it was a scene where those kids were told, they were educated. And then in the very end, they were very, they're agreed upon. They dismantled the house and they promised to never develop the land. They took care of the cemetery. They promised all that stuff and they were fulfilling it. That's how Taylor Sheridan sent off the Dutton family. So I don't understand why someone's trying to manufacture a complaint and lie about a final scene that other people have seen. I you know, really, really hope that's the case. And I don't understand, too. There was a there's a community note on it that I think that they were trying to get to go away. But I just, you got to be careful with some of this stuff. There are people on the right who I didn't see before 2016 that didn't really have like any sort of record of measures where you could tell where they were politically or in terms of genuineness. But there are people on the right who will purposefully mislead you and try to bait you into a manufactured division. And it's easy to do, has been easy to do lately because everybody's, you know, you kind of had to pick a side in this huge cultural battle and this political battle. But now that we're through that, I think that be very discerning because there are snakes among you. Absolutely. And there are grifters among you. And you just need to be careful with stuff. And I hope that the people, especially the Christians in the mentions of that thread, I hope that they, you know, take back some of their words and honor their faith and be a little bit more transparent and a little bit more honest and with stuff, because it's disappointing to see, and it makes people disillusioned about every political side, not just the left.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
The most of the stories I'm starting off like that, like so a Florida guy nicknamed Shroom decided to settle a $150 debt by going to an apartment to collect $150. And they call the guy the victim, I guess, the victim who supposedly owed him money. He was just there playing video games. The three dudes, including Shroom, was among them, busted on his door. They roughed him up. The victim got pistol whipped. And then the victim recognized one of the masked men. And that was his old buddy Shroom, who's Lazaro Gonzalez. I don't know why he has two of the same name, but he does. Well, I don't get that. He kind of looks like a shroom, I guess. Yes, the victim did owe $150, but instead of working out a payment plan, he declared that the three men destroyed $150 of his own property. So they decided that was even. But Shroom did go to jail for assault. That's just one of the, I'm trying to get over his name. That's the biggest offense in this piece. Florida man lost a drone to an alligator after flying it too close to the water. We need to get some of these gators up in Jersey. Drone operators, I never heard of that, of where a gator got it. But this story, by the way, that's written by a website called Motor Biscuit, they don't know how to write stories because they bury the lead four graphs down. But a guy in Florida obviously flew his drone way too close to a gator. He was trying to get a good shot of it. And I guess he didn't realize that gators can actually propel themselves up out of the water with their tails. And that's exactly what happened. The gator just like jumped up like a great white shark would jump up. He jumped up out of the water and grabbed the drone and then went into a death roll. So that guy's not going to get his drone back, Kane. I think that's a loss.
Yeah, that's definitely a loss.
Yeah, that ain't never coming back. It's never, ever coming back. Let's see. This guy stole a Rolls Royce and crashed it into a Checkers. Now, I had to stop here because I haven't heard of that place in a long time. That's the hamburger place, right?
Yeah. The Rallies and Checkers?
Yeah. The Rallies and the Checkers. Because didn't Checkers buy Rallies or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It was a Rolls-Royce SUV, and it was stolen from a valet at a Fort Lauderdale hotel, and they crashed it into a Checkers at 2:15 a.m. A Rolls-Royce, I don't even know. It's an SUV.
Eat that burger.
I mean, maybe he was like super hungry. Right. By the way, the restaurant where he crashed it was barely 6 miles away from the hotel.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the punishment in Florida for Grand Theft Auto is actually based on the value of the property stolen. And the top tier is any vehicle over $100,000. And this is even more than that. So this guy is looking to face up to 30 years in jail for taking a barely six mile joyride, stealing a Rolls Royce SUV and crashing it into a Checkers. So I don't know. The guy who, by the way, the Rolls Royce owner, he told CBS News Miami that he was sleeping and the valet went and knocked on his door, or the hotel did, and they said it was stolen from the valet. So yeah, it wasn't found at the Checkers. It was found inside the Checkers because he ran it in there. Let's see. This guy. I'm not reading that. This because it's gross. I'm not doing that. Can we just not with the stories about everybody exposing themselves? What is up with that? Is it just because it's humid down there? I don't know. A Florida man was arrested during a treehouse robbery. What? Yeah, I don't know.
What's in the treehouse that you would rob?
And there's crack cocaine involved.
Oh. Explains it.
Florida authorities arrested a guy because police said he stabbed a man to death during a robbery in a treehouse. It stemmed from a crack deal. Of course it did. Monroe County Sheriff's deputies say the victim, 59-year-old Matthew Bonnet, was trying to help a dealer who, or trying to help a neighbor who's being robbed by two masked men. The female victim lived in a treehouse in the trailer park. So she didn't have a trailer in the trailer park. She had a treehouse in the trailer park. And I guess they climbed up there and the deal went sideways and they stabbed her. Oh. The guy's being held in Monroe County Jail. Well, there you go. Third hour next, guys. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of this third hour. It's already Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We're almost to Christmas Eve week. It's pretty amazing. You can listen across the country. We also have the chat at Rumble. And don't forget to sign up over at Substack. Lots of good stuff up there. So where to even start? I'm going to pull. What's going on with America's hat? I know the Canadian government is just losing it. But now I was reading something about the challenger, like some of the people who are challenging the governor or the president, the head, just call him the governor of the state of Canada, Justin Trudeau, little Castro. They're trying to pressure him into resigning. I mean, he should. And he's trying to save his spot. He's fighting back against it. But I did think it was kind of interesting. He's been for 11 years now the head of their Liberal Party. And that's quite a long time. They could elect a new leader. Whether or not they're going to do that, I guess that's where we'll see. One of his challengers is Jagmeet Singh. He's the one of the guys who's called on Trudeau to resign, demand that he step down. Apparently, he wants an election in March because he wants to lock in his pension before the election in March. I don't know. Politicians are going to politician. But there's, I think we have the audio of this where he was being yelled at by people. He is not a audio soundbite 19. He is not, this is live television. He is not a popular person. Listen.
Prime Minister, are you going to remain in office, sir?
What gives you the right to continue? What gives you the right to stay in office?
Thank you.
You failed Canada. You've ruined our country. You're done. Walk away. You don't have an ounce of your father's integrity. At least he walked in the snow. You've ruined this country. Everyone around you is running from you. You're abandoning you. Christian Freeland, Sean Fraser, they've all left you. It's time for you to go. It's time for Canada to have an election.
Wow.
You're not the king.
Dang. I mean, that is something else. That's pretty amazing. They don't like him. He was really, I thought, like when he was first elected, he was pretty celebrated and everybody, you know, the Canadians seemed to like him, but now they hate him. They don't like him at all anymore. I think there's probably, I mean, obviously a good reason for that. But their government is, I think he's going to get run out. I think that the tide is turning. I think it's turning. I think he's, Kane, say on air what you just said.
I was like, imagine what it takes to make polite Canadians into these mad, rabid people. Imagine what that takes.
Yeah.
It's exactly what Trudeau's done.
I mean, I think because aren't they pretty much like, hey, sorry to offend, eh? Right. Maple syrup, maple leaves, yay. I don't know.
Not exactly. But
the finance minister resigned. That was his, you know, his top lieutenant. He's out. I don't know. I can't imagine him staying on. I just can't imagine him staying on in this position. I don't. Because he's... Well, Pierre Poilievre, who I love, he's this guy who... Do you guys remember Pierre Poilievre? He follows me on X. He was the guy who was eating an apple when a reporter was asking him questions. And he, in the most lackadaisical manner possible, just gutted this guy. But he says that Trudeau has to resign. Listen.
Mr. Trudeau is being held in office by one man, Jagmeet Singh. A fifth of Liberal MPs have written a letter for him to resign. His deputy prime minister has walked out on him. His housing minister has quit. That on top of numerous other female ministers who stormed out after his appalling mistreatment and abuse and dishonesty towards them. 80% of Canadians have lost confidence in this prime minister. So why is Jagmeet Singh making the entire country wait for him to get his pension? That is the question.
He wants his pension. March election, so he can lock in his pension. That's why. Well, we'll watch and see what happens with the governor of Canada there. We'll watch and see. San Francisco has a new government position. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yeah. It is a consultant. I'm not going to play this whole video because it's stupid. Well, maybe I will, actually. This person is supposed to be the, checks notes, weight stigma czar.
What?
Mm-hmm. Now, Kane?
Yeah?
I want you to tell me if the person whose image I just placed in Slack is qualified to be the, checks notes, weight stigma czar.
Well, she'd... No. I almost went on a tangent there, but no. Juan's going to be putting up a quick little video of
her. What is weight neutrality?
I think that's in space, right? You have no, you're weightless.
We'll play this when he gets it. It's that ridiculous. She's working with a team at the San Francisco Department of Public Health. It says here, as a consultant on weight stigma and weight neutrality. What is weight neutrality? What is that? Is that a thing?
When someone's
does
neutral,
it have a flag?
I guess if you're just neutral about the idea of weight or extra weight, your guess is as good as mine, but Juan's ready if you're ready.
Oh, please. Let's hear this. I'm sorry.
Hi, my name is Virgie Tovar, and I'm the author of You Have the Right to Remain Fat, as well as a few other books on fat positivity and body acceptance. When I think about what people might be surprised by or what you wouldn't think of when you think of eating disorders, I immediately think of being a kid. I was a kid in a larger body, a teen in a larger body, and also what? I'm an adult in a larger body. And the message I always got from my doctor was, shrink your body by any means necessary. And it really felt like there was a sense of a don't ask, don't tell. So because I truly, truly, truly believed, right, and this is where I think the surprise comes in, I really believed that this was about my health. I really believe that my doctor was right, because why would I believe anything?
Here.
That's real.
Your doctor was right. And it's not, let's not do fat positivity. I don't believe in fat shaming people unless, you know, that calls for it. But people pointing out that your obesity is a comorbidity, is a health issue. That's not people trying to be mean. And I think people need to stop being victims. Stop being a victim. I mean, come on. Seriously. It's... I really don't understand this, like, idea. What, was this a backlash to the heroin chic of the 90s? Is that what we're living with still?
What I don't get is, imagine any other health concern, you know, whether it's diabetes or whether it's just anything health-wise. Would you encourage people to continue behavior that would exasperate or make that health problem worse? Would you do that? Would you affirm them knowing that it would make their problem worse? Why would you do that?
This, when she says... You know, I have a right to, you know, you have a right to, you know, be fat or whatever. You don't. And here's why. After, you don't. Absolutely blank and do not. And here's why. After Obamacare passed and we all had to pay higher insurance premiums to pay for people who didn't or couldn't want to pay, oh, I get to have a say in all of that. So you don't get any rights because you invited my tax dollars in. And where my tax dollars go, I follow with a boot in the door. That's what happens. So,
body,
I get to be involved in it. Yeah, you don't.
My body, my choice.
No, no. It's not my choice to pay your damn bills, so it's not your body to make a choice of. No. If my money goes to it, I'm the boss of you. I will go and knock that zinger right the hell out your hand, and I'll put a carrot in its place, okay? Oh, you want to have a little, you want to have a little Debbie's fudge round? Eat some cucumber or broccoli. Stop it. I have a right too. I have a right to go where my tax dollars go. And if you're sucking up more of my tax dollars because you can't get a handle on your weight, then that's a problem for me. I shouldn't have to subsidize that. No one thought of that when they were pushing for the expansion of Obamacare and jacking up everybody's premiums so that we would have to pay for everyone else's care. So no. And everyone's like, oh, Dana. Look, I work really hard to stay in shape. And I eat healthy. And I do intermittent fasting. I do all of that stuff. I've always worked out. I've always been athletic. I've always maintained. And it's not because a privilege just decided to, you know, a fairy godmother apparated out of the ether and was like, I'm going to make you like this forever. It's an effort. And I don't want to hear about anyone else's problems or excuses. I don't care. Make the effort. And don't expect me to pay your medical bills, because that's the situation we're all in. And as a result, no one can say that they have a right to be this or that. So what you wanted, you asked for this. We warned you. Don't say that we didn't warn you, because we did. But back to my first question. What the hell is weight neutrality? What is that? Like, I'm trying to imagine. So, you know, we have a lot of truckers that listen. God love them. Is that like when do they do that for the weight on your truck? You know, like if you go in and you're a weigh station and they're like, oh, you're weight neutral to a truck and their load. Do they say that?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty positive. No.
I'm just fascinated by it. I'm today years old. I've never heard of that phrase, the whole weight neutrality thing. Right. Now, I will say this. I do think that some chicks can go way too far the other way. Like, I always bring up Madonna as an example. She, at some point, as you age, my grandmother always said, at one point in her life, a woman has to choose between her face or her body. Now, I've already told you guys, maybe I haven't been public about it, what my goal is. Because everyone always thinks, I've never had plastic surgery or anything like that for the love. But I do have a plan to combat wrinkles when it starts setting in. I mean, I got a little bit here and there, but I got a plan. You want to know my plan?
Yeah.
I'm going to get fat. It's natural filler. I'm just going to, because I choose face. That's it. I choose face because you can't hide ugly. That's why.
Oh, wait, do you have the right to be fat then at that point?
Well, I'm going to do it in like a healthy way. I'm not going to be like morbidly obese. Oh, okay. So that's totally my plan.
All right.
So. My grandmother was like, and she said the age is different. What she told me was this. She was like, at some point in her life, a woman has to choose between face or body. And I'm like, well, she's like, you won't know until you get there. And then she looked at me and she was like, I chose face. And she was like, that's why. She was like very proud. She's like, that's why I chose face. That's why I don't have hardly no wrinkles, is what she would say. And I get it. So that's my, I'm kind of joking, but not really. That's my whole goal, but not like morbidly obese. Just, you know, I'm just saying it's all natural. But there's a difference. You don't want to be like visceral and tawny like Madonna, right? I don't want to see like your ligaments and stuff. Like a woman shouldn't look like beef jerky. You know what I mean? Like you're supposed to be soft. I don't be brainwashed by these, you know, fourth wave fembots into thinking that you can't have any fat on your body. Women need it. And especially as you get older, you know, you need that extra, especially if you get older, because, you know, it helps you when you're in older age. So anyway, I still don't understand what weight neutral is. I'm going to hear from every trucker who listens to us. I am going to get treaties on it. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to get like big essays on it. I can't wait.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't even know what the... This is nuts. So this story, apparently it can't be Christmas here until the city shoots lasers at 20,000 crows. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's over at MSN. So apparently, and by the way, whoever David Andretti or Andretta is, he's a horrible journalist who should be fired because he doesn't know how to write a proper balanced story. I should have to get three quarters of the way through before I know what the hell you're talking about because you decide to talk about the birds. But anyway, it was an outbreak of West Nile virus and people, I guess they're trying to do like vermin control. So it's in a couple of different cities that they're having to deal with. This story is so stupid. Let's see here. We got a couple others. Firefighter dressed as Santa battled a 2-alarm blaze in Delaware County. That's pretty cool. And, well, we're running out of time. We got to get moving. Stick with us. I went long last segment. Apologies. Back in a moment.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
My OEM team. On the way here, I was on the phone with my OEM team, and we now have guidance coming from the state. And that guidance does say two different things. First of all, if there is a downed drone in our vicinity, we are immediately to call the bomb squad of our county. And second, our fire department has been instructed to make sure they wear hazmat suits.
So if something falls out of the sky that people have seen, and some of these things are as big as an SUV, if that happens, you're to treat this more than a plane crash. It's treated like an attack on the homeland?
That is correct, because they're not quite sure if there's a payload or not. On the way here...
So it sounds like it's the nuke stuff. That's the, that was one of the, what was it? One of the theories that was going around. And then apparently it's, trying to find radioactive material that, I mean, everything so far that's being said kind of makes sense with that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this third hour. I'm looking at this Newsweek piece that dives into it a little bit more and that gets into the whole mysterious, you know, the drone fever. They said at first they thought it could maybe be a potential gas leak. Now they're thinking that maybe it's like radioactive material. And all of these aerospace and, you know, people who are experts basically in these industries have, they've all said that they don't think it's nefarious, but they think that the only reason that they're flying that low is because they're basically trying to suss out something on the ground, like gas leaks, pockets of radiation. They're looking for something very important. And I just, if that's the case, what is the harm in telling the public that? Or do you think it's bad if they tell the public, oh, by the way, that we lost a, some radioactive stuff. We got to have these drones out there to suss it out at night. Be careful, right? Do you think the Kane? Do you think the public would go nuts if they were told that there was like some lost nuclear, whatever, radioactive material out there?
I mean, they're kind of being told that now. They're saying that that's part of the speculation. So I do
believe
it's
everybody else's speculation that the government's not putting to bed.
But that's all it was. Remember on Sunday and yesterday when we talked about this on the show, and you're like, oh, that's just one guy saying that now. Well, now
it's a lot of guys.
Yeah,
saying
you know
that.
What I mean? So it does evolve, eventually evolve. So I'm not really certain how crazy this will evolve.
I'm just curious if they lost it, who took it? I mean, how did they lose it, or was it stolen? And if it was stolen, what for? I got a lot of questions. Although, then you have that one lawmaker, Van Drew, who came out and said, nah, it's the Iranian mothership, which, you know, also kind of sounds like it could make sense. None of them confirm my favorite theory, though. Kane.
I know what it is.
Aliens. Just saying. Just saying. They said that I looked at the Project Blue Beam thing where global elites plan to stage a fake alien invasion. That seems like a Rube Goldberg kind of operation. I don't put a lot of I don't know. When my government tells me to do something, I don't want to do it. And when they tell me to believe something, I don't want to believe it. I am so anti-authority that I can barely follow, like, push down and turn directions. Because I'm like, are you trying to be the boss of me? I argue with everything in my life. Are you trying to be the boss of me, Bottle? Like, I'm so anti-authority. So bad. It's a problem, Kane. It's a real issue.
Childproof caps. Huh? You're anti-childproof caps.
Yeah, like push down and turn. How dare you tell me what to do, Bottle? I'll do what I want. I'll open you how I want. But you know what I mean.
I love it.
So I don't know. I mean, I kind of wish they would stage a fake alien invasion. Give us something to do. I'm bored to tears all this. Like, the same goofy Fruit Loops in D.C. Yes?
I was talking to Juan this morning, and you know how it is every year. We do this every year. We get to December. We're getting into the holiday season. And then what does the government do with the news cycle? They start dumping all the bad stuff during the time of the year that most people aren't paying attention to the news. So, yeah, I believe that there's going to be some sort of something.
Aliens?
Yeah.
Ooh, wait. No, you're not joking.
No. I think there will be. Now, whether or not these are going to be real aliens, whether or not it won't be some sort of Project Blue Beamy type thing.
I don't even care.
I don't even know.
If you guys don't know what the Project Blue Beam conspiracy theory is, which I didn't know until I dove into this, that's basically like all the superpowers of, you know, the world. They want to fake. It's like the new QAnon. They want to fake an alien invasion so they can seize power. I mean, what other power are they going to seize? I mean, everybody kind of folded over COVID and showed you how susceptible, you know.
Right.
Did people learn from that? I don't know. Because I feel like they already did that. They already did it, just in a way. All right, I got a few other things we gotta hit as well. La, 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 la. We've got, I'm pulling up some things here. Oh. This is this story about, I mentioned the CNN thing earlier. I almost couldn't believe this when I saw it. I don't know who this Clarissa Ward is. People keep saying that she's an actress, and I wasn't familiar with her. She's like decided to, she's a British person with CNN. I guess she was, I don't know. She started at Fox. And I don't know why they say that she's like this, like an actress or something, but she's, I don't know. She's very dramatic, as you will, if you've watched any of this footage when she's gone and saved this dude. So they had this segment on CNN where Clarissa Ward was over there in Syria, and she's reporting on the collapse of the Assad regime and, you know, all this stuff. And, They save this guy who is apparently, and it was all staged. They acted like they were rescuing him from a prison. And as it turns out, he was actually an intelligence officer in the Assad regime. And I guess he was acting like he was a prisoner. And he was acting like he had been kept prisoner. And he's really putting on this like big show of being freed. And it turns out he was not only an intelligence officer with the Assad regime, but he also was one of his main torturers. Yeah. The main torturers, one of the big guys that Assad used. And they brought him out, and he's like hugging. He hugged, Clarissa Ward, and he acts like he's so relieved, like, I can't believe it. And they're like, this poor innocent man that we've saved. We saved him from the presence, and he was just kept against his will. And he was one of the baddies. I mean, they're all baddies at this point, but he was one of like the legit baddies over there. So now CNN had to admit, this was a headline that they had, quote, freed prisoner who said he was a victim of the Assad regime was an intelligence officer, locals say. He was actually a literal lieutenant in the Air Force Intelligence Directorate. Oh, They helped free this guy. He's known for harassment and extortion and all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. You know, CNN, the guy who literally looked at this Syrian interrogator, this baddie, and they thought he was an innocent torture victim. Oh, he's leaning on her. Oh, my gosh. She's like, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I can't believe I can barely walk. Someone get him a chair. This poor man. CNN has a member of the Assad regime that they're state. And here's the other thing. They take the guy out of the prison cell. What does she do? They sit him down and they immediately go into an interview. They weren't even if he wasn't a torturer, they were not concerned about getting him to a hospital or anything like that. She's like, oh, no, I've got to sit you down and I have to interview you for my program. Let's do that now. And then he acts like he's shaking and he can't eat. He was jailing people. He was torturing people. He's one of the baddies. He's one of the baddie baddies. And he acts like I'm just yet but a simple man. I'm just so sad. I can't believe you freed me, CNN, you bastion of reporting. The giant of international journalism. Can you imagine being her and then waking up after you think you've done like a Pulitzer level story and this happens? Because you know that's what she was thinking. She was just like, I watched that whole thing. She's like, let's get you sitting. I mean, she was just, but at the same time, it barely masked her glee at being able to have a story like this. You know, oh, let's get you for an interview. They pull the guy right out of a cell. And they're like, okay, let's sit you down in a chair. Now it's time for an interview. I mean, at least she was thinking business first, I guess. You know, that's what CNN likes.
And I mean, this may not be a popular opinion, but to me, she's like the female Charles Jaco.
Oh, don't. He's going to sue the internet again, Kane.
Good luck, Charles.
Do you guys know who Charles Jaco is? He is a sentient skin tag who has some hair on it, and he came from St. Louis.
What you said's worse than what I said.
No, I mean that you said that. I was like, burn. But no, So Charles Jaco is the sentient. He's a sentient skin tag. With a couple of stray hairs on him. And it started reporting for CNN, and he like apparently faked whole report about being in Iraq or something like that. And he was on a set.
And shelled and bombed.
Yeah, and he acted like he was getting bombed and shelled. It was the worst acting I've ever seen in my life. And then later, this was like 13, 14 years ago, people on the internet were making fun of him, and he legit threatened to sue the entire internet. Right. And I was here because when I started on radio, I started at a station in St. Louis, and he used to work. It was a cluster. He used to work at one of the other stations there. And the story goes is that he would go take his coffee cup of, you know, coffee that he drank, and to warm it up, he would pour it into the coffee pot, swirl it around, and then pour it back into his mug. And he got caught like a couple of different times, according to numerous people that worked. Gosh. I was only told this. I didn't say this. Other people did. And that's nasty.
It's illegal, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, this was like back in like the early aughts. So I don't know. I don't know. I think when he was there, it was like the late 90s. I was totally not there at that time. But he was so nasty towards me. But I always felt bad for him because he was, you know, a skin tag. And, you know, I don't know what kind of future they have. So sad.
But yeah, she reminds me of him. They have the same look in their eyeballs. They have the same work ethic, it appears. And people respond to them the same way. And I've seen all these videos on Miss Ward getting approached by different nationalities, different mm-hmm. people, just scolding her over their misrepresentation and reporting.
Yeah, the guy was like, I'm a civilian. And he was like, my captors have beaten me. And you could just see the look on her face. She was trying to hide it. Like, this is too good to be true. And as it turned out, there was a news outlet that published a photo of this guy. He gave her a fake name and everything. He said his name was Adel Gerbal. That dude does not even exist. They found out that he is First Lieutenant Salama Mohammed Salama of the Air Force Intelligence Directorate, literally the agency that runs the prison. He runs the prison. She thought she was getting this poor victim. Instead, she got literally the guy who was running the prison. And what gets me is that they didn't even bother verifying anything. They're like, oh, let's take this man and put him in a chat and interview him immediately. Got to have the exclusive. You noticed something about him in Slack. What did you say in Slack about him?
Oh, yeah, that he was perfectly manicured and he wasn't dirty. That jacket looked pretty all right.
Yeah, he didn't look like he was starved or nothing either. That you know, room? Like yeah, a prisoner exactly. would want to look like. Prisoner would look like. Yeah. So, and people were saying that they did not trust her story. And there were apparently even some Syrians there, like, what, CNN, what you doing? What? Why? This is not how you do the journalism. Not. And they said, Kane, to your point, they said he was too well-groomed and did not act like someone who was locked in a dungeon for 3 months. And that is per number of people on Verify Psy.
That's why I have to wonder, because Charles Jaco was with CNN back in the late 80s, early 90s. And so now we have Clarissa Ward, CNN, all about faking wartime stories around times of tension. Is that intentional by CNN for decades now? That just seems weird.
It's a good point that you make. I don't know. I'm just saying. But I don't think she's going to get that Pulitzer, though.
Nah, she'll be all right.
No, I don't think she, because it's too bad. It's too bad. I mean, it is really embarrassing. It's just really not great for her.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
I was reading this debrief from Kamala Harris's deputy campaign manager. I think it was Semaphore that had it. And they said that Rob Flaherty had, after she became the nominee, he turned his attention to sports. They needed to introduce Harris quickly to people who aren't obsessed with politics. And they said sports is perhaps America's last remaining monoculture. And they decided to book her on all these sports shows and podcasts, but everybody began turning her down. Like everyone, they were very polite, but they all turned her down. And they said sports and culture have sort of merged together and they've become sort of natively associated with a Trump conservative set values. And it said it got more complicated for athletes to come out in favor of us, he said. He goes, because they didn't want to do politics. I don't think that's fascinating in terms of the guy, Flaherty said it was fascinating that they were rejecting it. No, it's not. They were being smart about it. I mean, you're a pretty bad deputy campaign manager if you can't read the tea leaves on that one. Good heavens. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it is our current vice president. Is she doing anything now that she lost the election? I mean, she's still vice president, right? So
yeah.
This is Kamala Harris. Maybe you can understand what she's saying here. Let's hear this.
And I ask you to remember.
Yeah.
The context in which you exist.
All right.
Yeah, I did that.
What?
Uh-huh.
I think she's drank every day since November 5th.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that she's already drunk on eggnog. Yeah. I mean, most of you all wait till Christmas Eve, but she's already there.
She won't be sober till 2025.
Venn diagram. I don't know. That's... Does it for us today, folks. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.